I was going to ask Brandon to come up and help me with this illustration. That's okay. I didn't have time to find a football because it's a football illustration to start the sermon. But I'll tell the story. Do you remember about 2 or 3 years ago when Auburn and Georgia were playing? And Auburn had about time for one more play. They were behind. And so the quarterback drops back to pass. And he just throws it as hard as he can. And at the other end of the field, there are two Georgia defenders. And the ball is coming and sailing. And it's obviously going to be short. And so the ball comes right over the Georgia defender. And instead of knocking the ball down to the ground, he knocks it up. And you remember what happened? The Auburn player ran up under the ball, caught the ball, and dashed into the end zone. How many of you think that was a miracle? No, okay. All right, let's try this one. A week or so later, they were playing Alabama. And Alabama was going to go for the win instead of go to overtime, and so they're going to try to attempt a field goal. It was way too far out of range for them to make, but they lined it up, and the Auburn defender was back there, and the ball sailed way short of the goalpost. And so the Auburn defender caught the ball. I think he was in the end zone, wasn't he? And he ran that ball out of the end zone and passed 11 Alabama defenders over 100 yards into the end zone on the other end of the field. Now, how many of you think that was a miracle? Okay. All right, good. I've been reading a book on Augustine, that's where we go to vacation. Augustine is the name of this, he was a monk and he became a bishop in the Catholic Church in the 4th century. And he, early in his ministry, he really began declarative statement that he did not believe in miracles. He didn't think that that miracles would take place today. And that was just about 300 years after the Apostle John, wrote the Gospel of John. Now, he believed greatly in the miracles that are recorded in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament. As a matter of fact, there are three major epochs of time in the Bible when there were miracles. There were miracles during the time of Moses. Remember, Moses went before Pharaoh and he threw down that rod and turned into a snake or whatever. That was a miracle. That was defying the laws of nature. That was immediate. It was an act of God. It wasn't a trick. And then there were a lot of miracles during the time of Elijah. I'm going to share one of those later, but there were miraculous things that happened. And then, during the ministry of Jesus, there were a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. Jesus performed, the book of John, the Gospel of John says, if they had recorded everything that Jesus did, there would not be enough books in the world to contain all the things he did. There were miracles that were never recorded. But Augustine, later in his life, he began to soften his stance on miracles. He thought, miracles, as a matter of fact, the greatest miracle that ever happened was the resurrection. Can you believe that? So we believe in miracles, right? We believe miracles took place. But Augustine softened his stance later on and says, maybe there are miracles. And he uses illustration. He said, for instance, you think back, what was the first miracle that Jesus ever performed? Anybody know? It's in the book of John, chapter 2. It was what? Y'all Baptists remember that, don't you? He turned water into wine. He was at a wedding and they were out of wine and his mother came in there and said, hey, I need some help. And he said, fill them up and he, whatever, and turned into wine. It was good wine. Wasn't the cheap stuff. It was good wine. I wouldn't know the difference, okay? Just for the record. I wouldn't know the difference between good wine and bad wine. Anybody would know? Well, okay. Good. Anyway, So Jesus turned water into wine, and Augustine began to reason in his mind. He said, well, you know, if you think about it, he said, there's a vineyard of grape, a grape vineyard. He said, and what happens? He says, water rains down out of the sky, right? Goes into the ground. It's absorbed into the root system. Process of photosynthesis. That water, in the mind of Augustine, was turned into wine. And so he began to soften his stance on miracles. And I guess people say things are miracles. For instance, people say childbirth. They refer to childbirth as the miracle of childbirth. Y'all ever heard people say that? The miracle of childbirth. Any of y'all ever said that? Is childbirth a miracle? Well, it's one of God's natural laws, right? I'm not going to get into detail about how conception takes place, but there's conception and there's gestational period of time, and then 9 months later, a baby comes. And people say, well, that was a miracle. Is it really a miracle? How many of you say that's a miracle? How many of you say it's not a miracle? Okay. We got a few. Is it a miracle or is it just a natural order of things, the way things go? Let me ask you this question. Tomorrow morning, when the sun rises, some people say that is the miracle of the sunrise. Is that a miracle? Is it a miracle for the sun to come up in the morning? For the moon? I think we're getting close to a full moon. And that's a beautiful thing. Is that a miracle? And a lot of people say, that's the miracle of the sunrise. Is it a miracle? Or is it just a natural order of things, the way God set the nature, laws of nature in order? Now, when we talk about the miracle of childbirth, we know that there was a childbirth that was a miracle, right? The birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. That was a miracle because here's a woman who's never been with a man, and she has a baby. That is a miracle. I know that's a miracle. I'm not sure that childbirth is a miracle. The miracles still happen today. Let me give you the definition from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of a miracle. A miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. An extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. Let me give you the definition of a miracle according to R.C. Sproul. A miracle, properly speaking, is, there are several aspects to this. Number one is, it's an extraordinary work. Okay? Now, I'd say that childbirth is an extraordinary work. That is amazing. I would say that the sun rising in the morning is an extraordinary work. His second part of the definition is this. It's an extraordinary work performed by the immediate power of God. The immediate power of God. Third aspect is in the external perceivable world. It means you can stand back and you can look at it and you can see it happen, which is an act against nature. It is not a natural, a miracle is not a natural thing that happens. And only God can do it. Now, let me give you an example of a miracle from the Old Testament. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. I want you to see a miracle in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to see how this miracle sort of fulfills all this definition that R.C. Sproul gives of what a miracle is. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories of a miracle that happened in the Old Testament. And this is a story of the floating axe head. Okay, we'll read it. This is a miracle. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell, So he answered, go. And then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. Elisha was a man of few words. And so he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? He showed him the place, so he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron axe head float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand, and he took it. Now, that is an example of a miracle during the time of Elisha. It was something that was an extraordinary event. It was something that was done in the immediate power of God. It's something that could be seen in the external perceivable world. In other words, people around it saw it happen. It was something that was an act that was against the laws of nature. It's not normal for iron to float. Not like that. And it was something that only God could do. God performed that miracle. That's amazing. It fulfills all the definition of a miracle. When we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus did things like that often. I mean, he actually healed people that had leprosy. And it wasn't that he healed them and then all of a sudden they started getting better. And then 6 months later, their leprosy was eradicated from their body. No, it happened. It was like they had leprosy. Jesus spoke the word. They didn't have leprosy. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead. Jesus spoke. Lazarus wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. There are other miracles that Jesus performed. He instantly healed Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. And I don't know how sick she was, but she was sick. And then all of a sudden she was well, and she was waiting on them. And it was a miracle that just took place. One thing was one way, and it was totally different the next day. So the question is this, why did Jesus perform miracles? Why did he perform miracles? What was the purpose of the miracles of Jesus? I mean, you could say, well, one of the purposes was to help people, and that was certainly true. He liked helping people. He was a good helper, and he helped people, and he made people well, and he made things better, and Jesus walked on the water. That was a miracle. Peter walked on the water. That was a miracle. But why did he do those miracles? I want you to go back to the New Testament. Find the book of John, chapter 20. We're going to see here, why did Jesus perform a miracle? Chapter 20, verse 30. Just look at that, but I'm going to go on over to 21, verse 25. It says, there are also many other things that Jesus did, which they were written one by one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. So Jesus did a lot of miracles. Most of them, probably many of them, were not even recorded. But why did he do it? Look at chapter 20, verse 30. It says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so why did Jesus perform those miracles? So that people would believe in him. I mean, he was the Messiah. He had been for hundreds of years. They had said, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. You know that other Messiahs had come? And they were impressive. They may have been good teachers. They may have been good leaders. And they would like have great popularity. Then all of a sudden, they would be killed, or their ministry would be over with. And so people would come before. People came after Jesus. But Jesus came, and he could do things that no one else had ever been able to do. I mean, he could raise the dead, and he could heal the sick, and he could heal people that had been blind and people that had been paralyzed from birth. And he could perform those miracles. And so the reason Jesus performed those miracles is because people had to be able to believe in him and to be able to trust him. And so he performed those miracles so that they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, and they would be able to place their faith in Jesus. Now, so that's why Jesus performed miracles. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Because we find out that as the New Testament begins to unfold in the book of Acts, that Jesus was not the only one that was able to do miracles. The apostles were also able to perform miracles. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. And do you remember that they even said that whenever Peter would walk by, people would just sit in his shadow? And they would be healed by his shadow? That they would take the cloths off of that Peter had wiped his face with, and they would take those cloths. And you know that there was a pastor by the name of Ernest Anglin one time. Y'all remember him? Y'all remember Ernest Anglin? Okay. Ken, you and I must have done the same thing, so we're connecting here. But Ernest Anglin, he would actually sell prayer cloths that he would have wiped his brow with, and he would mail that to you if you'd send him $100. And it would help you. But the apostles were able to perform miracles as well. So we come to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." And so even as the new church was being established, some of the apostles were able to perform miracles and heal people, so the church would be established. Now, the question is, we'll turn one more time to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 19. That is the wrong verse. I wrote the wrong verse down. But the verse I'm referring to is one that refers to how we have the apostles. And the apostles and the prophets. And we have the Word of God. Somebody know where that is? Verse 11. Okay, and he gave some himself to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's not the verse that I was looking for. But, you know, the Bible was given to us, you know, through the apostles, through the disciples. We have the Word of God. And today, are there still some things that are going on that are supernatural? If you've accepted Christ, that's supernatural. That's amazing. That's supernatural. Are there still people that we're praying for to be healed? Sure. But the question is, what about these people who are so-called miracle workers and healers today? They fill up these large auditoriums and they claim to be miracle workers. Are those guys reliable? Are those guys able to really do miracles? Well, I would say no. I'll tell you, there are four reasons why I don't believe in those miracle healers. One is this. You know, of all these things that have been happening in all these auditoriums, you know, well, there's never been one verifiable medical miracle that has been substantiated. Never one. There's never been a guy who's had a leg that was short, and they spoke, and his leg grew. Now, there's never been one verifiable miracle where someone had a cancer x-ray, and they went to this meeting, and immediately after, it was gone. I mean, they claimed that, but there's never been one verifiable medical miracle. The second thing is this. Many of these things that you hear about are third-person testimonies. It's like you hear, well, my cousin went to this thing, and this is what happened to them. And so you get these third-person testimonies. Another reason I don't believe these things are true is because many of the illnesses that people are supposedly healed from are what we call psychosomatic illnesses. They say, well, I had a pain in my side, and now it's gone. And even though there was no verifiable medical problem, that person claims to be healed. And another thing that bothers me about these so-called healing services is that millions and millions of dollars are collected in these services. I looked up the website of one of these guys. I'm not going to call his name. But on his page, there was a title, and it says, Do Miracles Still Happen Today? And the whole article, about two-thirds of it, was about how all these miracles are taking place at his events. And the last third was about how much he needed you to send in some money to support his ministry. And I counted it. On this web page, on this one page, there were 8 places where you could click to donate now. And that's just, to me, I have to question that. I think we need to be very careful. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 4 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now remember, the definition of a miracle. It's an extraordinary work. It's performed by the immediate power of God. Now this is the New Testament miracles. You take the miracles of Jesus and you compare them to this definition, and every miracle that Jesus performed meets this definition. It was an extraordinary work. It was performed by the immediate power of God. It was in the eternal, perceivable, external, perceivable world. It was an act against nature, and only God could do those miracles. And so when people ask the question, do you believe that God still performs miracles? Most people would think that you're very unspiritual if you gave the answer to that question as no. However, if people ask this question, do you believe that God is still working in the world supernaturally? You know what the answer to that question would be? Absolutely. Absolutely. God is working in supernatural ways in this world. I mean, what greater supernatural event can there be when God takes a person who is broken and lost and saves that person and turns that person around? Their life is transformed. That is a supernatural work. If I were asked this question, do you believe that God answers prayer? I would say 100% God answers prayer. He wouldn't tell us to pray to Him if He was not capable of answering those prayers. I think that a lot of times we don't receive from God because we don't ask God. And we don't experience all the good things that God has for us. And the third thing is this. Do you believe that God heals people in response to prayer? I would say, without question, absolutely. Absolutely. God heals people in response to our prayer. And we've seen a perfect example of that years and years and years. We saw Wendy Rumley, who battled cancer. We would pray for her and she would get better. We would pray for her and she would get better. Now, the Lord did eventually take her home. We pray for people all the time who have sicknesses and illnesses. And some people, I remember I talked to a lady yesterday at our Easter event, and her father had major heart attack, and he was in the hospital in Valdosta. And I went to see this guy. They were visiting the church, and I went over there to sit by his bed, and I remember praying for this guy. And he told me this. He said, if I could have one thing, it would be that I would see my little granddaughter graduate from high school And I met his granddaughter out here yesterday. She's 11 years old. He's got a few more years to have that prayer answered. And I prayed for the guy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I prayed a prayer for that guy. And the condition that he was in, the situation that he was facing, I had very little faith that he would get better. But you know what? He got better. He is better. So I do believe that God is alive. God is still working. God still answers prayers in amazing ways. There have been some marvelous answers to prayer in our own church. We've seen people healed of so-called terminal illnesses. I've just never seen anybody raised from the dead. I've never been to a cemetery and seen somebody come back to life. I've never seen a person whose arm has been severed grow back. I've never walked on water, and I've never turned water into wine. And I've never seen anybody do that. But in any case, the Lord Jesus did those kind of miracles, not only in a broad sense, but He did it in a narrow sense. It's the miracles of the New Testament that are so important to us because they attest to Jesus Christ being who He said He was and to the apostles being who they said they were, and we submit to their authority. We submit to their authority. Jesus is not here physically. The apostles are not here presently. But we have the writings of the apostles. And so we submit to their authority. We have the teachings of Jesus and we submit to His authority. So, how are you to define a miracle? If a miracle is any wonderful thing that happens by the power of God, if that's the definition of a miracle, then I would say that absolutely God is performing miracles today. However, if we're talking about a miracle in the sense of something that God performs in violation to His laws that He has established, then what we're saying is God circumvents His laws that He put into motion. For example, death is a law of God. We're going to die. We are all going to die. Does God bring life out of death or something out of nothing? Well, certainly He can. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And when Lazarus had been in the grave, He waited on purpose for 4 days so that that body would be in a state of decomposition. It would be rotting away. And after 4 days in the tomb, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Is God doing those kind of miracles today? If He is, I hadn't seen it. And I certainly believe that God could raise every human being in the cemetery in this whole world today. If God wanted to, I believe He could do it. But I believe He used those miracles in the New Testament for a specific purpose. And I don't believe He's performing those kind of miracles today. The chief reason He did those things in the Bible was to certify that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. That He came as divine. And He performed those miracles to back up what He spoke. And those miracles gave evidence of His authority. But today, we have the Bible. And we don't need miracles. You know what? I've noticed a lot of people that are so up on faith healers and all these healing ministries are very low when it comes to the Bible. This is our authority. This is our Word. This is the prophets, the Old Testament, the apostles, the New Testament. We have His Word. We still see supernatural things happen. But as far as miracles like we saw in the New Testament, if you see one, let me know. I hadn't seen one. I believe in the supernatural power of God. And I believe in His supernatural power to change a life because He changed mine. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You. We thank You, God, for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, for the miracles of the Bible. And I believe every one of them to be true. I have no question or no doubt about anything that's in the New Testament or the Old Testament. God, I have a lot of questions about what we see today, though, and it's very questionable, Lord, and it doesn't seem right what people are getting away with. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us as a church and as people to be discerning. And God, I pray that no one would get the misconception that I don't believe that you're a supernatural God and you still perform mighty works. God, you've done one in my life, and you've done it in one of the lives of my family members and my children. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us to remain faithful to the Word. This is not to cut down miracles. This is to exalt the Word. The Word is our proof. And, Father, it's been here for 2,000 years. We've had this Word, and it's held the test of time. It stood the test of time, Lord, and it's been burned. It's been outlawed. Father, it's been maligned and misrepresented, and yet it still stands as truth. So we thank you for your precious Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.